It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. And the podcast that we rolled out last week with America's mom, Sharona Bishop, where the FBI paid her a visit and forcibly entered her home, is a very important podcast. So be sure and check that out. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And that is one of the things that I'll be doing this weekend, Steve, is responding to my emails. It has been a week. We have been on a tear as far as just work. And so that's one of the things I'm going to be doing. So
that's what put you a huge step ahead of Hillary Clinton, because all she did with her emails was delete them.
I'm not going to do that, but I am a little behind, and I hate that when that happens. But and also, thank you to all of you who contribute to support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. It's not about free stuff. And just look at the theft that is occurring right now, Steve, with this government-induced inflation. I was talking to a young millennial mother yesterday, and you know, many of our young people, I mean, a lot of people, I guess, do it. I don't do it. But that is place their grocery orders online. So she had put together her list, and I think that she had put it in but wasn't going to have it delivered or wasn't going to go pick it up yet. And when she was getting ready to pay, she went down her list, and it said price increase, price increase, price increase. And she said, this is squeezing people. And I'm going to call this this Biden administration the big squeeze, because I think that's what's happening, Steve.
Well, no doubt about it. And you're not alone in trying to sound this alarm. I was listening to Hannity yesterday, and he couldn't stop talking about people becoming aware. And you think, gee, doesn't everybody know it right off the bat? You go to get the gas station or any other possible, scenarios. And the prices are definitely creeping up. And so, you're pushing for a raise. You can't wait for the new year to get here, and there might be a raise in your future. Mm-hmm. And it's all nullified.
And not only nullified, but in fact, inflation is increasing faster than people's wages. This is called stagflation, and it is because of government policy. And so people are they're realizing that there is the big squeeze there. And as we say, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property. And in a way, Steve, it's taking people's property through this government-induced inflation. But also, we always talk about rules and regulations and excessive taxation. That is another way that these PBIs, they steal from everyday people. But continue on, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation. And want to let you know, I went over and partook in some of the lunch specials over at Hooters Restaurants yesterday, met with them. They've been just great partners of both of the shows. And I had the fish and chips, and it was really good, and it's $10. And I said, are you going to hold the line on your $10 hamburgers? And they said they are right now. So you see all that inflation there, but right now at Hooters Restaurants, there's some great deals for lunch, for happy hour. They've got a burger special all day, every day. And the place was busy. So it was really great. And their wings, of course, they're known for their wings, Steve.
Maybe Hooters is like the airlines who buys, they buy fuel, jet fuel, on contract, years in advance. And maybe that's what Hooters is doing with beef. How in the world are they holding the line?
I don't know, but I did They are right now. And so, and again, I really appreciate it when you support my sponsors, because they support this show. And we are an independent voice. And we're becoming one of the most respected grassroots leaders out there. And my friends, it is going to be the grassroots that saves Colorado. And that is why we must get our brains around these issues, understand them, and then be able to engage in this battle of ideas with our friends and our family, and our colleagues and our neighbors. And Steve, I was thinking about it. There are folks that just, they will never change their mind. But as I look, as I go through and look for quotes for the show, it's nothing new. There has always been people that drink the Kool-Aid, if you will. But there has always been, particularly in America, people that search for truth and clarity and justice and all these things. So that is why we need to engage in this. And I am encouraged, Steve. I've been out and about a lot, and I am super encouraged that people are waking up. This big squeeze that's going on with the Democrat policies, and it's not just the Brandon administration. We're seeing the policies, and we're going to talk with Rick Turnquist about the Rittenhouse case and this Julius Jones case in segments 3 and 4. And his piece is really important. It's titled "Exactly Wrong: Democrats and Crime." And so these policies, the veil is off, and I think that there's something very powerful in that. A couple of things. I didn't say thank you to everybody. And you know I appreciate our listeners, and I appreciate this team that I get to work with, and that's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And I am so thrilled to add Jen Hewlin on as our liaison with on partnerships. So if you're interested in becoming a sponsor partner of our show, email me at kim@kimmunson.com, and Jen will be in touch with you. But she is a great addition to the team, producer Steve.
Well, we talked about it a couple times this week. She is such a go-getter and so driven. I'm expecting great things.
I am too. No pressure, but I'm expecting great things as well.
No, go ahead. Put the pressure on.
I'll put the pressure on. Okay. Since we're going to be talking about Democrats' crime, racism, it's all based on race. They define everything by race. And if that's how you define things, then that means you are the racist. You are the bigot. And so I thought that let's go to Clarence Thomas. And what a remarkable story. What a remarkable life story. And the quote for today, well, first of all, Clarence Thomas is an American lawyer who serves as an associate justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. He was nominated by President George Bush to succeed Thurgood Marshall and has served since 1991. Thomas is the second black American to serve on the court after Marshall. He was born in 1948, and he was born into poverty, Steve. And this is what he said. He said, "Government cannot make us equal. It can only recognize, respect, and protect us as equal before the law." And that is the beauty of our goal for the American justice system, and that it is colorblind, that it is impartial. Now, granted, it's not perfect, and I know that there's things we need to do about it. But quite frankly, don't you remember the confirmation hearings for Clarence Thomas, where the feminists, there was all kinds of accusations made? And, the left realized that getting a young Clarence Thomas on the courts, a conservative justice, that could bode well for their agenda to actually change America through the courts. And of course, then when Donald Trump was elected and he's gotten so many different judges appointed, we're in a remarkable time, Steve. But the left had been targeting the courts way back in the 80s and the 90s. And so Clarence Thomas came from poverty, and he has been one of the most conservative justices that we've had, and we're blessed to have him, Steve.
Wasn't that the Anita Hill situation?
It was.
You mentioned the feminists, but we I don't know that we knew or were as well-versed as the way the game is played back then.
No, we weren't.
Who was stirring up the feminists?
The feminists.
Well, yeah, but who was kept on agitating and making sure that they were making a lot of noise? And I think it was the left.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's jump over here to a great new sponsor. They've joined us just recently, and that is Three Points Financial. Mary Alpers and Steve Cruz are the owners of Three Points Financial, and they're unique in as they are a fee-only financial firm, and they can also do taxes, tax planning, which is amazing. And Mary Alpers, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim.
Can you believe that a week from today is Christmas Eve?
I really can't. We were talking about it all day in the office yesterday. Where did this year go?
Well, it's been amazing. So here we are, a couple of weeks out. So that means the next Friday is New Year's Eve. And there are things that people can be doing here at the end of the year. And then also they need to be setting goals, or we need to be setting goals for 2022, correct?
Yes. That's what I want to talk about today. I kind of want to talk about it in general and specifically, if that's okay.
Sure.
I think towards the end of the year, but we also do it with new clients when they first come in because it helps us understand them. We discuss setting goals, and we encourage couples to write them out separately first and then discuss them together. If they're with us, we discuss them as a group. If they're working on their own, they discuss together to put, kind of helps them put perspective to each other's lives. We also review what has been achieved for longer-term clients. And after several years, looking back and reviewing with them their first goal-setting meeting, it's almost celebratory because it's so common to see that they've reached many, if not all, of their goals. And part of that is because we've help them plan and strategize towards, you know, specific goals that really are statements of what matters to them, and that helps us also understand them. But goal setting really begins with taking, thinking and talking through possibilities and dreams. It's an important part of comprehensive financial planning, whether you're doing it with an expert or whether you're doing it on your own, for several reasons. It allows you to dream. What has been put on your heart? What have you not accomplished that you still want to accomplish, no matter what your age? And goal setting defines and adds purpose to your finances. So it's no longer just about having money. It's letting you qualify your life and express what matters to you. Three Points Financial has several exercises, but one is just simply writing down what you've always wanted to do or accomplish. First, without thinking about costs, and timeline. Sometimes this could be something like a childhood dream or wish, because as children, we're less likely to be inhibited by dreaming. And I know a woman who was raised with very little possessions. She grew up poor, and as a child, she made little pieces of furniture out of aluminum foil to decorate a small handmade dollhouse. And today she's a successful interior designer in the Bay Area of California.
Oh, my gosh.
And she shared this story with me. I know, isn't that neat?
Oh, She shared this. I just got chills when you said that, Mary.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
And she shared it with me about 15 years ago after I spoke at a women's retreat on finding the passions of your heart. She came up afterwards. And once you've defined those goals, then you have to find a way to measure them. And besides adding the quality, most goals actually can be quantified. It's both time and money. So, for example, an education goal. I've really wanted to go back to school. The cost is one way of, quantifying it. And the other one is how long it will take, time.
Mm-hmm.
And like learning to paint, it's mostly time. Semi-retiring, how much you need to live on, when do you want to semi-retire, and how long that season of your life will be before you go into full retirement. A special vacation would be something like cost, and when do you want to take it. A new car would be cost, and when do you need or want to
mm-hmm.
buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we work with the client to drop those goals into sections on paper between 1 year or less, 2 to 3 years, 3 to 5 years, or 6 plus. And at that point, you reach your financial strategy stage, which is usually why our client might come to C3 Points Financial in the first place. But having the why identified helps us understand the client, and it also helps them understand what matters to them. They put it in writing, like journaling. Mm-hmm. It puts meaning into the process, and we're essentially walking through life with the client, helping them reach their financial independence as they've defined it rather than as we've defined it. So on our website under resources, there's one goal setting exercise that you can download, and that one comes back to us, but you can also save it for your own. But anyway, just writing them down, thinking about them in terms of time and money, and by writing them down and saying what's important to you, you've essentially added a quality to your life because you have a purpose and you have something to live, you know, to shoot for in the next year. And even if you don't make it the first year, there's, you know, usually always the next year.
You can always readjust, but take that temperature every year.
Right.
Mary, you mentioned this word purpose, and I think that, and many times I say it, I think I miss saying it this morning, but each person is treasured, valued. They have purpose. And I think a lot of people in this secular society that we have now are searching for that purpose. And so I love what you're doing here at 3 Points Financial on this. This is really exciting.
It is. And, you know, purpose is, it helps avoid some of the things that have come out of this, you know, last couple years, and depression.
Absolutely.
It sets you on a path, and it helps you make better decisions. You automatically make better financial decisions for other reasons, too, but having a purpose for why you're doing what you're doing, why you're earning what you're earning, really helps you avoid mistakes.
Oh, I love that. So, Mary Alpers, how can people reach you?
Well, 3pointsfinancial.com is the best way, and there's a place to reach out and fill out something that then lets us know that you want to be contacted.
Okay, great. And again, that's 3 Points Financial, and then I think we'll be talking with Steve next week on Christmas Eve. But I guess at this point, I must say Merry Christmas to you, Mary Alpers.
Thank you, Kim. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we've got some headlines. We'll talk with Hal Van Herke at the bottom of the hour, Rick Turnquest. You won't want to miss it.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Steve, I could not believe this. Somebody sent me this picture of Centennial Elementary. And you know how different schools have the little signs that they send messages to the family? This is what it was. It said, Families of Color Playground Night, Wednesday, December 8th at 4:10 p.m. Does that not look like racism? I mean, can you believe it? And this is Centennial Elementary School right here in Denver, correct? You said northwest quadrant of Denver, is that right?
4665 Raleigh Street, which is midway between Federal and Sheridan.
Yes, and defining our children by the color of their skin. Martin Luther King Jr. would not believe that this is what 2021 America has happened. And
Steve, I'm glad you said that because for the last, ever since King Obama came on the scene, everything you guys are doing is counter to what Martin Luther King was all about. And how do you explain that?
Well, and that is what Marxism is. Marxism has to divide people. And they used to try to do it between the working class, the workers, and the elites. Well, now we have the elites, but they're trying to define us by race, and just trying to divide us. And Abraham Lincoln, we fought a civil war so that we would keep the Union together. And these people are trying to tear it down. But my gosh, can you imagine if you were a parent of a white child going to Centennial Elementary and be told that your child could not play on the playground at a certain time? And in 2021 America, I can't believe it. So the left is always the radical activist left that has really been in control of the Democrat Party. Their narrative has been one. Remember tolerance? Remember when you see all of those bumper stickers that said tolerance? But yet now we realize that those are the people that define people and put them into groups, whether or not it's unvaccinated, whether it's white, whether it's black, and that's how they look at life. And so they're not the great not the great uniters. They're not tolerant. And that is why we are in this battle of the narrative, Steve, is they know that people do want to be tolerant. They know that everyday Americans have good hearts. They know that people do want to be tolerant. They do know that people do want justice. But then they take these words and they manipulate them and they massage them. And we have been asleep in this battle of the narrative. And it is fine. And that's why we do the show, Steve, is to help people, help you get your brain around these issues so you can engage in this battle of the narrative. Your thoughts, Steve?
Well, you've been saying it for quite a while, and I guess I need to come to really, really respect that there is an awakening, and I must agree, there is. The more people I intermingle with, actually, at the times where I least expect it, you'll hear something really, really smart come out of somebody's mouth in terms of being aware now, maybe, and they're quick to admit it. I didn't realize this was happening.
Right.
Is the phrase. And I think, well, I'm glad you realize it now.
Yeah. And so we're in ideological Normandy where we now need to storm the beaches here and make sure that we're engaging with our friends and our family and our colleagues. But Steve, you know, we are an independent voice. And it's great to be an independent voice because I get to work with, a lot of our really great partners. And the show comes to you because of these really great partners that I get to work with. And one of them is on the line with me, and that is Hal Van Herke. He and his wife, Linnea, are true entrepreneurs. They're the owners of Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located in Sedalia, Colorado. And I just have to ask you, Hal, with all these smash and grabs that we're seeing in these Democrat-run cities, and now London Breed with the mayor of San Francisco acts like she's going to get really tough on all this law and order that they've just let get out of hand. Any thoughts on that?
Well, definitely some thoughts on that. I mean, it's obviously happening in Democrat cities. It's happening in cities that you have district attorneys and city attorneys that were specifically put in place by George Soros and his various foundations to enact a catch and release policy in these cities. Their arrest rates have been way down. They've legislated soft on crime bills, and then you have these activist attorneys that district attorneys that are releasing everybody or not pressing charges. And it seems like it was a specifically designed formula for causing chaos in the streets. And then when it happens, you have the politicians crying about it and saying they can't figure out why this is happening, and now they're going to get tough on crime. So I guess it's one indication that there's the far left, the destructive left, is on an agenda, but they haven't told everybody, I guess. But I mean, there's no surprise whatsoever that where this is happening. And we don't have this problem, at least so far, in Sedalia, but most of the stores in little sleepy Sedalia have armed store staff, and the sheriff's department shows up in about 3 minutes if there's anything wrong. So, it's not hard to figure out why they're having these problems.
Well, for sure. And criminals are going to go to the places where it's easy to commit the crime, for sure. But let's change gears just a little bit. Hal, I actually have a wedding I was invited to and needed to get them a gift. So I went down to Castlegate Knife and Tool and bought a Christmas gift, bought this wedding gift. And we're coming in. I can't believe that Christmas Eve, Christmas is next week. And now I think people are going to get serious about shopping. Castlegate Knife and Tool. I saw one of the beautiful cutting boards there as well. And so Castlegate Knife and Tool is a great place to do your shopping. And tell us about the pop-up store at the Castle Rock Mercantile.
Yeah, so downtown Castle Rock at the Mercantile on 3rd Street, we have a 10-foot wall display that has over 150 different knives. And like you said, for this holiday season and also part of our bigger strategy, we've really aggressively invested into the kitchen cutlery segment. We have, you know, 6 different kitchen lines that we represent. We have probably close to 20 different brands of steak knives and gift sets and carving sets and things that are easy to pick up for yourself or to give as a gift. Most of those come in very nice boxes, wooden boxes or other gift-type boxes. We do have wooden cutting boards that are just gorgeous that are made in Colorado. We have other table accessories and stuff that are being made in Colorado, as well as we really worked hard this year to ramp up our inventory, make sure we had it in. So in our main store in Sedalia, we have a huge selection still of top name brand knives like Benchmade, Kershaw, Zero Tolerance, but as well as out the front knives, which are always our most popular seller. We have the largest selection of Microtech knives, Protech knives, and Heretic knives that we've ever had in the store. So it's a good time to come in, and we have also, you know, filled every little nook and cranny with surprise things that you might not have thought of as last-minute gift items, stocking stuffers, et cetera. And we're seeing that being very popular this year.
Well, very excited about that. How can people get more information about Castlegate? What's your website?
Now, the website is castlegate.com. So it's very easy to remember, castlegate.com. And we are located downtown Sedalia right next to Bud's Bar. And we're open 10 to 6 every day of the week.
Okay, that's castlegate.com. Oh, go ahead, Hal.
Yeah, but it's frankly, if we're busy and you're in a few minutes late, we're staying open to while we still have customers, kind of unofficially past 6. It just gets dark so early.
Yeah, you're not a government office, and you don't kick people out. You'll make sure you take care of your customers, right?
Yeah, open at 10 because we're all sleepyheads like me. We're all night owls, and then open at 10, and then close when you guys go home.
Okay. Well, sounds great. So be sure and check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. Surely appreciate that, Hal. And we will talk to you next week. We'll be right back with Rick Turnquist.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse with 3 Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. 3 Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at 3 Points Financial working for you to navigate those uncharted waters. Check out 3pointsfinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's 3pointsfinancial.com.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. And be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I so appreciate you. On the line with us is Rick Turnquist. And you know him. He's an author, a blogger. You can find him at 2advancedfreedom.com. And he does a lot of great op-eds for us as well. And he's got one here. We'll roll it out on in the newsletter this weekend, although we already have it on the website. And it's Exactly Wrong, Democrats and Crime. And Rick has left Colorado. He's now in Oklahoma. How is it in Oklahoma? What's the temperature there?
Well, right now it's a balmy 45 degrees. And I've only had to wear my winter jacket one day so far, and normally I just wear a light jacket or no jacket at all. And but it's windy here in Oklahoma, but apparently it was windier in Denver the other day. So y'all had some pretty bad winds. What was it, Wednesday? And here in Oklahoma, it was windy, but not terribly. So our power went out for a little while, which made me glad we had a generator. It's a little bit different weather here.
Well, I it was very windy. I had to go down to Colorado Springs last night. And I'm driving along, and I hadn't really registered Wednesday in the wind. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a overturned semi. Oh, there's an overturned semi. And then at the meeting I got to, apparently down there at the Air Force Academy, it was just terrible at that particular exit as the wind was coming off, and they had a number of them. I'm thinking, gosh, that sure ruined somebody's day when, you know, they're planning on making that trip with their load, and they get blown over. That just breaks my heart when that kind of stuff happens. But enough about the weather. Let's talk about crime. And Rick, you've left Colorado. You're not going to believe it that down by Union Station is one of the top three crime areas in Denver now. And when I think about all the economic development dollars that went into that, the little businesses that had opened up down there, I was down at Larimer Square the other night. It was a ghost town. And so these policies have really hurt everyday people. But let's talk about your piece, Exactly Wrong, Democrats and Crime. Where do you want to start?
Well, we're talking about how I did move to Oklahoma, and one of the things that we have in Oklahoma that is kind of absent from Colorado politics is death penalty politics. So when I moved here over the summer and then into the fall, this debate over Julius Jones had heated up, and the case kind of caught my interest. And the week of November 15th, the Julius Jones case came to a resolution, and as did the Kyle Rittenhouse resolution, came to a resolution a day later. And both cases I thought were intriguing. And I actually sat down and started writing this piece on that Friday because, it just is another great example of how Democrats are exactly wrong when it comes to most policy areas, but certainly with regard to crime and criminal justice.
Well, and London Breed, the San Francisco mayor, is now sounding like she's going to get really tough on crime, where they have been undercutting the police. In fact, there was somebody sent me I guess it was a Reddit thing that in San Francisco, some people are opening up their trunks and rolling their windows down when they park their car, so that criminals will know that they don't have anything worth stealing and breaking the windows. I mean, it's remarkable, Steve, or remarkable, Rick. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Yeah, that's true. I saw that in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, and there's a op-ed in the Journal today about London Breed wanting to refund the San Francisco police. But I think it's just lip service. Like Jared Polis, posing as a conservative, what was it, Neil Cavuto on Fox News. The voters know who these people are, and the evidence of their misgovernance is impossible to ignore. I used to work in downtown Denver, and with the pandemic and Democrat soft on crime policies, I'm sure that downtown Denver is a ghost town now, and I haven't been back there in 2 years since the pandemic started. But it's obvious that whatever they're doing, it's not the right thing. And I think Union Station is a perfect example of that. They've given it over to the people who really genuinely, you know, most of them need some sort of help, but they are just using that public property in a way it's not intended for, and as a consequence, driving people away who might otherwise go there to shop. Or, you know, if I was riding the light rail downtown, I probably would prefer to get off at the F line in mid downtown instead of at Union Station. And it's a real tragedy.
It is a real tragedy. So let's talk about these two cases. I wasn't real familiar with this Julius Jones case. And as you mentioned, the resolutions to that case and the Kyle Rittenhouse case all came out within the same week. Talk to us first about the Julius Jones case.
So Julius Jones, in 1999, as a part of a pattern of escalating criminal activity, including armed robberies and armed carjackings, Julius Jones walked up to Edmond, and Edmond's kind of an affluent suburb of Oklahoma City up north. He walked up to a businessman and returning home from back to school shopping with his two daughters, who are nine and 7 years old, and his sister Megan. And without any warning, Jones walked into the car and shot Paul Howell in the head. And as his family fled into the house, Jones fired a pot shot at them and then hopped to the Suburban and drove it away and ran over Howell's legs in the process. And I didn't hear about this when it happened. I only learned about this when I moved here. And 3 days later, he was arrested. In 2002, he was put on trial. He was sentenced to death and incarcerated at the Oklahoma State Penitentiary. And it's routine with death penalty cases for the trial and conviction to be reviewed multiple times at various court levels, including state and federal courts. And according to the website that the family put up, justiceforpaulhowell.com, Jones's case has been reviewed multiple times. The Supreme Court of the United States has turned down 4 opportunities to review it. And Jones has said he was innocent. He insists that Jordan was he had an accomplice named Christopher Jordan. He insists that Jordan was a trigger man and that he was at home with his family on the night the murder occurred. And somewhere along the way, he found himself some celebrity supporters, including Kim Kardashian and the Innocence Project. And it came to a head in the fall of this year when there was a Oklahoma Parole and Pardon Board held a commutation hearing for Julius Jones. And after hours of testimony, and his supporters and defenders insisted he's innocent and the wrong man is in prison. And Christopher Jordan's already served his time and been released. And they want Julius Jones to be released as well. But I listened to the second hearing that was in November, which was a clemency hearing. And I listened to the entire proceeding where his defenders made their case, the district attorney in the state made their case, and the family told their stories. And it was heartbreaking to listen to the family story. And I believe that Jones is guilty. But the board, you know, despite all that evidence and testimony, voted 3-1 to recommend clemency. And just, you know, a couple weeks later, they voted to recommend clemency in another death penalty case. I'm like, why have a penalty? Just let everybody go. So,
is that what clemency means? Then is that they would let them go?
Well, actually, that's what it means. They wanted to give him basically a free pass out of prison. Sentence him to life with parole, and you know, his time served is already counts, and he would get to walk free.
Wow. It's just kind of remarkable that one would go from death row to out walking on the streets again when he came up and shot somebody point blank. That's not really the people we want on our streets, I don't think.
I don't think so. And so it was up to the governor, Governor Stitt, who's a Republican and actually, incidentally, I don't play identity politics, but as a point of interest, he is also a member of the Cherokee Nation. So he's a Native American. But he actually came to the right decision, I think. He commuted Jones's sentence to life in prison without the possibility of parole, which means that if Jones is innocent, which I don't think he is, then the state avoided putting a man to death wrongly, which is always bad.
It's always bad to put somebody to death who was innocent. I think that's what you're saying.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Yes. Yeah. And in any event, I think life in prison without parole is a harsher punishment and a more just sentence. But when it comes to the right and wrong in this case, the left and the media were exactly wrong. And there's just no just way that Julius Jones should have been granted clemency and allowed to walk free. So, and then we all know the story of Kyle Rittenhouse. That's a national story. Kyle was in Kenosha, Wisconsin, in the aftermath of the shooting of Jacob Blake. He was there to help people and help defend the business from being looted, because all summer long, let's not forget, you know, the backdrop of all summer long, we had leftist violence and rioting throughout major American cities that just didn't stop for several weeks or months. And in Portland, I guess it's still going on. So Kenosha was burning. Kyle Rittenhouse was there to help. Along the way, he was attacked by some individuals. He shot three of them, killing two of them, and then went to try to surrender to police, who just kind of waved him through their lines. And he was subsequently arrested and charged with crimes. I didn't think at the time that it was clearly self-defense. I didn't think that they should have arrested him and charged him. Clearly, the Wisconsin prosecutor thought they could win that case. So Kyle was arrested. He was in jail for a few months and then got out on bail. And then he was his trial started on November 1st of this year.
Speaking of the Wisconsin prosecutors, I just saw different snippets of what happened, but I found it very remarkable that the prosecutor, I think in closing arguments, had a rifle or the same kind of weapon that Kyle had, and that he actually took that, and it looked to me like he pointed it at the jury. And somebody said to me he even had his finger on the trigger. I found that rather remarkable. I actually found it – sometimes when I say remarkable, there's other words that's going through my mind. And actually, the real word is disgusting. I thought it was disgusting.
Well, that prosecutor was bad news. This is, you know – and he's an agent of the state, so let's not forget that. But he was bad news, and from what I understand, he did point that rifle, which was Kyle's rifle, at the jury and kind of swept the courtroom in the process. So he broke just about every rule of gun safety there is, and he's probably not a person who's conversant with gun safety rules or even knows how to operate or shoot a weapon. So that was a viral meme, and it really kind of stands out for the idiocy of the state in this case.
Well, and I talked to Annie Pate, who is on the Rush to Reason show a couple of times a week and hosts that there many times. And he grew up in a Marxist Democrat family. And so sometimes when we're out in cubicles, we'll be talking. And he said, you have to understand that if Rittenhouse gets a not guilty resolution on this, that the left has already lynched him. All the way from the president to the mainstream media. And if he gets a not guilty, this is really going to put the radical activist Democrats on their heels. And he said, I grew up in a Marxist Democrat family, so I understand that. I understand how they think. And I'm like, I just didn't quite understand that. But I thought that was a really interesting perspective, Rick.
Mm-hmm. And they were clearly out for blood with Kyle, who was in the end an innocent person, and it just shows again that they're exactly wrong, because Kyle was, you know, defending himself. He perceived threats to his life. One of the people that approached him, Gage Grosskreutz, was holding a pistol and at one point pointed at Kyle. So Kyle, you know, let's go with the backdrop. It's nighttime. There's fires burning. There's people going crazy. There's been already gunshots in the air. Somebody comes up to you and points a gun at you. Of course you're going to fire in self-defense. And it's just amazing how they felt like, how they demanded that Kyle spend the rest of his life in prison for this. And whereas they want a murderer who murdered a man in cold blood with no warning and then took pot shots at his family as he was dying, they want him to go free. So it just on a larger level, it just goes to show that Democrats are wrong on crime, and that's really the last part of this op-ed that I wrote for this month.
Okay, well, let's go to break. On the line with me is Rick Turnquist. We're talking about his op-ed. It's on my website. We'll also roll it out this weekend. Exactly Wrong, and that is, the exact title is Exactly Wrong, Democrats and Crime. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Kirsch Insurance Group is a great sponsor of the show. They're specialists in the Medicare arena. And government does goofy things, and so there's different times when you can do different things with Medicare. And we'll be coming up on January 1 with, if you have an Advantage plan, you have one time that you can make a change. And anyway, there's all kinds of different things to navigate. And Kirsch Insurance Group can help you do that because as brokers, they can work with a lot of different companies. So be sure and check out iKirsch.com. That's their website, iKirsch, K-I-R-S-C-H.com, and they can help you navigate those crazy waters regarding Medicare. We're going to go to break. When we return, we'll continue the conversation with Rick Turnquist.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. A couple of things before we get back to Rick Turnquist. This Sunday for our America's Veterans Story show, we interviewed Lou Zobe, Army World War II veteran. He was at Battle of the Bulge, and Battle of the Bulge was fought, I believe it started December 16th, I think, and it was the bloodiest, one of the bloodiest, if not the bloodiest battle of World War II. Lou was there, and so you will not want to miss America's Veteran Stories at 3 p.m. this Sunday on KLZ. And then also this morning from 9 to 10, Reggie Carr, who has a great radio program, I'm a Uniter. Be sure and check that out as well. And that's 9 to 10 here, right here on KLZ 560. Rick Turnquist, this piece that you have written is so important and really sheds light on how the Democrats have been exactly wrong on crime. And they have been the ones that have said defund the police and really have undermined our communities and made them extremely dangerous. And so how do you want to button this piece up? Because I highly recommend that people read this because you've really nailed this issue.
Well, thanks, Kim. And watching Colorado from afar, I know that crime is really a problem there. And in Oklahoma, of course, there's crime here. But I don't feel like it's as much of a problem here in Oklahoma City as it is in Denver. I mean, I see homeless camps every now and then when I'm driving around the city, but they're nowhere near as much or as permanent as they are in Denver. And I don't think that there's a problem with aggressive panhandling or anything like that in downtown Oklahoma City, which, to be honest, I've only been to a few times. So it just doesn't seem, my perception is that the crime problem here isn't as bad as it is in Denver. And by golly, just when I was researching this piece, I found a study that had been written by the Common Sense Institute, which is written by former District Attorney George Brockler, who's a Republican, and former District Attorney Mitch Morrissey, who's a Democrat, along with two of CSI staff people. And the findings are stunning. I mean, crime in Colorado has gotten really bad. I mean, the total cost of crime in Colorado exceeded $27 billion last year. And those costs are borne primarily by the victims.
Mm-hmm.
Violent crime is on pace to be the highest level since 1994, which is a 10% annual increase The average monthly crime rate in 2021 is 28% higher than it was in 2011 and 15% higher than just 2 years ago in 2019. And while the national violent crime rate has increased by 3% over 10 years, in Colorado it's grown by 35%. And Colorado has the highest motor vehicle theft rate among all 50 states in 2020. And the reasons behind this astronomical increase in crime are largely due to criminal-friendly policies put in place by Colorado's leaders, including the governor, the attorney general, the legislature, district attorneys in the large cities, and others. And these people are all Democrats or are running things like the state legislature, which are run by Democrats. And so it's empirical evidence that being soft on crime results in more crime. And excusing bad behavior by individuals as a result of income inequality or racism or any other excuses just gives cover for them to make bad choices. And in many cases, the structural factors put in place by government policies contribute to these incentives for criminal behavior. And it's not just in Colorado. The United States as a whole has experienced its largest ever single-year homicide spike in 2020. And I linked to an article in the Wall Street Journal about this. And further, you know, crime, the left is trying to claim that crime isn't as bad as it used to be in the 90s. And that's not true for many of America's largest cities. And as I researched this piece, I just happened to, you know, pick a sample of them to make sure that they were run by Democrats as I thought they were. And most of them are. I mean, Colorado Springs has a Republican mayor, but in my view, he's got an R next to his name, but he's no conservative.
Right.
So it's a real thing. And people want to be safe in their homes. They want to be safe when they're driving to work or to take their families to go back to school shopping. And they want to believe that people who do bad things will pay the price for those bad choices. So it's really just another part of how I've been talking about for the last year or so. The Democrats are just unfit to govern because they're disconnected from reality, and you can see this in so many of their policy choices and so much of their agenda. They just don't understand how economics or human nature work.
So, Rick, a question though: when we talk about Democrats, that these radical activist Democrats, there's that group. I'm thinking 10-15%, and then there's people that say I'm Democrat, they watch CNN and they have heard that conservatives are terrible and Republicans are terrible, and they're watching all the stuff regarding January 6th thing. But I think deep down they're good folks. I think that they want the best for people generally. I think they're starting to wake up, and you and I both have a number of Democrats like that in our families and our friends. How do you address that? Because when we have a title like this, Democrats Unfit to Govern, sometimes these middle, I don't want to say middle of the road, but Democrats that aren't the elitist, then they take that as a personal affront. How would you comment on that?
Well, it's not my intention to offend anybody, but I think that people need to take a real hard look at who they're voting for and what they're supporting when they cast their ballots. And I just saw a story recently about a lot of how there's so many new gun owners in America. People are concerned about defending their families. They're concerned about crime. They're going out and buying guns. And a lot of these people are former liberals, is what this article said. And I just hope that they consider what will happen if they vote for Democrats who want more gun control and want more soft on crime policies. Why vote for the people who are creating the policies that cause you to feel the need to buy a gun in the first place? Or people who move from these blue states with their high taxes and high regulations and move to other states that are freer? Are you going to continue to vote for Democrats who will put in the same policies that caused you to flee the state that you fled from? So, you know, I don't want to offend anybody or get in your face with anybody, but I also do want to, you know, encourage people to really objectively think about the people they're supporting and the party that they're voting for when they vote for Democrats.
Well, and I think that's the key and this Democrat Party is not the Democrat Party of JFK. People need to understand it has taken such a radical turn to moving towards Marxists, dividing us, trying to tear down the country. We've got a couple, about a minute and a half left. But Rick Turnquist, there was a nugget in this piece that you have done that I thought was, people just need to hear this. You said, society must support those who would do good rather than glorify those who only wish to harm. I think that is an amazing nugget right there in your op-ed.
Well, thank you. And I think that's the case. Too often these criminals and people that choose a life of crime for whatever reason, I think they deserve some measure of sympathy just in a human sense. But we also need to understand that there's real victims. Even people whose property is stolen, they're victims. People who are subject to violent crime, they're certainly victims. And with this whole Julius Jones thing, I just, you know, all the emphasis and all his focus was on him, and I felt to the disrespect of his family. And boy, those poor people, you know, they lost their son and their father and their brother and husband,
you know, these, and yeah.
All these leftist celebrities are not really disparaging them, but kind of ignoring
right. Their
very real their real harm that was done to them and their family. So I thanks for saying that. I felt like that was a pretty good point myself.
Most definitely. And Rick, we're out of time, but I so appreciate this piece, and I highly recommend that people check that out at kimmunson.com. Your blog is to advancefreedom.com. I wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas.
And you too. Merry Christmas to you, yours, and Steve, and your family.
Okay. And our quote for today is from Clarence Thomas. And he said this. He said, to define each of us by our race is nothing short of a denial of our humanity. So my friends, today, be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals. And like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell